Let's pray. Well, Lord, we thank you for the chance to praise you and sing and clap and enjoy being in the company of saints, where we can just let loose and enjoy the music and the rhythm and the beats. And now as we take in your word, may it be useful and helpful for our lives. May we be able to use it throughout the week. May all that we say and do be glorifying to you. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Many of you have been watching the Olympics. Yeah? No? Hardly anybody. Wow. Well, what I like about the Olympics is the stories. You know, it shows the past winners, those who have come from 2 Olympics ago, last Olympics, and then they're still there, right? And so the expectation is that they will repeat, that they will win gold again. So I love that part of it, just the drama of everything. And it's so exciting if they win. But if they lose, it can be so disappointing and deflating and devastating, kind of heartbreaking you feel for those athletes if they don't make it. Thus far, I've noticed that 3 of the Olympic athletes, superstars, right? I mean, during the opening ceremonies, these superstars, the camera was on them, and everybody was like seeing them as rock stars. But 3 of them did not make it. Bodie Miller on the downhill, Shaun White on the snowboard, Shawnee Davis speed skating. All these superstars, you were expecting them to get some medal, and they didn't get anything. There was an interview with Shawnee Davis when he lost, and they said to him, "What happened?" And he said, "I don't know what happened." He said, "I felt good, I felt confident, I felt like I was going really fast, but I guess it wasn't good enough." Then he said, his closing statement was, "I guess I didn't have it within me today." What didn't he have within him today? He didn't have the energy. He didn't have the fire. He didn't have the passion. He didn't have the capacity to do whatever it takes. He just was missing something. It was the simple truth that he could not fulfill expectations. Even though in the past he had proven himself, even in the past they have all these medals to show, even though now the country gives them a full endorsement, still, when it mattered, when it counted, they weren't able to come through, and they had to face the truth. Maybe their time was over. Maybe it's time to step aside. Did you see the one German skater, how she was disqualified twice? Did you see this? So she got up to the line, she false started, and then she false started again. So can you imagine 4 years of training? 4 years of all the expenses, 4 years of sacrifices, and then to get to the race starting line and to not be allowed to compete. That must have been heartbreaking. Just the loss and the failure and the disappointment, unfulfilled expectations. Now, we live in a world that's really complicated with, we're pulled in so many directions. We're pulled by our family, by our parents, or our work, or our society, that we need to live according to a certain set of expectations. And we fool ourselves, or we get sucked in to believe that we can fulfill those expectations. When Jesus shows up, and when he is there with the scribes and Pharisees, they expect him to be a certain way. They expect him to rule. They expect him to take over Israel. They expect all this wisdom and insight. They expect him to establish the kingdom of God according to the law of Moses. He is expected to follow the laws and not contradict it and not violate it. But Jesus doesn't live up to the expectations of the religious leaders. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus heals a woman on the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, he and his disciples are hungry, so they decide to pick grain on the Sabbath, and they're not supposed to. in John 5, a man had been sick for 38 years, and so he heals the man on the Sabbath. And in John 9, he makes a blind man to see on the Sabbath. So Jesus said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. But then he angers them in other ways too. He says, well, I forgive you of your sins. And they say, no, you can't do that. That's blasphemy. He says, well, he was in the synagogue and he reads this passage from Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor. And he said, after reading that, he said, I am the one. I am the Messiah. And they get upset at him because he doesn't fulfill their expectations. How could that be? Not only the company he keeps are unsavory, so he doesn't play to their expectations. Instead, Jesus is making the distinction between fulfilling the law in the way that God would have it versus what the religious leaders were hoping that he would fulfill. So as we're wrestling with all these expectations of how do we manage it, how do we balance it, how do we keep it in perspective, we ask the question, what does God expect of us? And then how do we fulfill that? How do we, in the whole range of expectations of what God has for us, what is reasonable in God's eyes, not in what society says? Today we're talking about the currency of truth. And last week I talked about all the different elements of the ring around the cycle of blessings. And if we are living in the currency of truth, it enables us to generate more cycles of blessings. What is the currency of truth? What is that exchange of truth that will help us to be better? According to one of their definitions, the currency of truth is the ability to be able to articulate global and holistic truths, or more specifically, experiences of other people that are universal, or those self-evident truths that are representative of the community or the town or city or humanity or just the whole nation and earth. To express the truth which is supposed to affirm life, the truths that are supposed to encourage life, the truths that are supposed to promote well-being and wholeness and balance. Now, if the truth begins to oppress, if the truth begins to confine you or imprison you, or if the truth is knocking you down or tearing you down, then that is not the purpose of truth. Truth is supposed to help us to be empowered. Truth is supposed to be liberating, or as John 8:32 says, truth is supposed to set us free. Not squash us, not squeeze us, or choke us. So if we can identify those things that are binding us, if we can identify those things that are bringing us down or deceiving us or are detrimental, then we need to say, what is the truth? To identify those things that are false or fictitious or those things which are expectations that are kind of just fleeting away and temporary. How do we make that distinction? Because when we do identify those things, then we're able to better ourselves and we're able to improve and we're able to grow. Now the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or the Pharisees and the scribes, they were not encouraging new life. Their interpretation of truth was doing the opposite. And so for Jesus then, was he trying to break their laws? Or was he just trying to respond to human need? Jesus was acting out of truth, out of compassion. As he says in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. By following Jesus, by looking at Jesus, by being in relationship with Jesus, we can have the courage to face the truth. We don't have to back away. We don't have to shy away. In Mark chapter 5, there's a woman who was hemorrhaging for 12 years, and she tried everything. She tried doctors, she tried medications, she tried probably other alternatives, and nothing worked. And she said, if I can just go to Jesus and touch his garments, I will be well. And so she does so. But in the process of touching his garments, she falls down, and in fear and trembling, she comes to the realization that she better come to her truth. And she thus tells her truth. Now, we don't know what that truth was. The Bible doesn't say. But she was able to have the courage to confront it and to confess it and to give it to Jesus. Maybe it was something in her past. But when we live our truth, we bear our souls before God and are better able to be more honest with ourselves, more authentic with ourselves, and more in tune spiritually. When we let go of those impediments and those hindrances and we face our truth, then we will then be released. We can shake them off. We can let them go and we can walk in the newness of life. Those things that are weighing us down, those things that continue to want us to cause us to stumble. It's about time we faced our truth. Now, each night of the Olympics, there is this one commentator. His name is Chris Collinsworth. I don't know if you know who he is. He used to be a wide receiver for, I think it was the Bengals. And he's an announcer now. And so every night he does his feature on some story. And so he was doing a story on Noelle Pikus Pace. And she's a skeleton racer. It's that sled that one person lies belly on and goes. And apparently, Noelle had retired from the sport after Vancouver. So she had decided, what I'm going to do now is focus on my family. I want to have more kids. I want to just enjoy and discover what that all means. But then she had a miscarriage. And I can't imagine what that's like, to lose a child before they're born. There must have been this great emptiness, this great void, this great vacuum. And so her husband saw that moment and decided to seize it and say to her, I think you should try one more time for the Olympics. So with her husband taking care of the kids, he allowed her to pursue her dream. So they were talking to Chris Collinsworth, right, the other announcer, and the other announcer asked Chris Collinsworth, what is the difference between covering NFL stories and the Olympians? And Chris Collinsworth's words were, the difference is, it's for the NFL players, it's about the money. For the Olympians, it's about the moment. The moment of deciding and seizing the opportunity, the moment of fulfilling what God has for us. Now, when Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees were having these troubles, the scribes and Pharisees were saying, you got to pay attention to the law. You have to follow the law. What Jesus says is, that doesn't matter, because what matters is the moment. The moment when someone is in need. The moment when someone is hurting. The moment when there is an emptiness and a hole in the soul. And then to rush in and to be of help and to be of service and assistance. She was, Noelle was interviewed, I think it was last night, and they asked her, and they said, how does it feel now, you know? And she said, well, I'm in this moment because of my husband and his willingness and his ability to identify that moment to allow me now to experience this. I wouldn't be here enjoying this moment without him. And that's what it's about. It's seizing that specific moment in God's timing, as God puts us in that position to seize that opportunity, recognizing God's timing, and then to be able to act in concert with God's Spirit to make that opportunity so that there can be victory, there can be triumph, that there can be a glorifying of God. So the currency is truth, currency of truth is to seize our moments, to know when God is putting us in those places of opportunity, and to take those points of righteousness, the righteousness over and beyond the scribes and Pharisees. So let us live our truth. Let's take hold of it. Amen.